Welcome back to Relentless. We are here to help you on your journey of mental, emotional, and physical strength. And today is going to be a special episode because I'm going to tell my story, which was nothing I had planned to do, but I had several clients and guests on the podcast kind of get a little bit out of me and then ask me to just tell my story, which I thought was kind of weird, but we're going to do it anyway. So I have with me today Mylise.
Hi.
That I actually met at another networking event. Mm-hmm. I love to talk about Charlotte and the networking that we have. The small business community that we have is quite amazing. And I met you just a few months ago, and we were talking about what I do and mm-hmm. how I help people and my passion behind that. And you said, well, have you told your story yet? Yeah. And I'm like, you know, by the way, I've been actually asked to do that. Before we get to my story, though, I want to talk a little bit about what you do and mm-hmm. why your passion behind storytelling has prompted you to create the People of Charlotte. So, again, we're coming from Charlotte, North Carolina. And Mylise, just tell us a little bit about the People of Charlotte and how you got started telling stories.
Yeah, it's funny you say you've never told your story because I'm guilty as well. I haven't gotten to my own yet. But I started People of Charlotte because I've always recognized how much you can learn through storytelling. Mm-hmm. And I think it really connects us as people and makes us human and relatable. And that's for generations. It's just innate in us to learn through storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, why not start a storytelling community within Charlotte to recognize all the amazing, and I say everyday people, everything that they're doing in Charlotte that's mm-hmm. amazing and propelling our city forward and making a difference.
And I just your last story was about Miss Betty
yes.
that works at Queen's University. And then you've had potters on and yoga practitioners mm-hmm. and small businesses. And like you said, just people that are building up our community and having such a positive impact in it. And that's basically your goal, to show the power of the community. Mm-hmm. So what did you do before you did People of Charlotte?
I've always enjoyed writing, so that aspect parlayed into it. But I've kind of been a jack of many trades, mm-hmm. a Jane of many trades, I guess. I've been in banking, I've been in pharmaceuticals, I've been in software, and I've had my own business. Mm-hmm. I manufactured and designed a children's clothing line most recently for 8 years prior to starting to People of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So I'm very entrepreneurial. I love meeting creatives. And I think that's why I'm passionate about learning what people do, mm-hmm. how they do it. And I've always had the philosophy, and I really held it close to heart while doing the clothing line, that, you know, it's hard, right? Mm-hmm. Being an entrepreneur is hard, mm-hmm. and you hit walls and you say, I can't do this. But I always said to myself, if someone else out there has been in my position and is doing it, then I can do it too.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of why I think storytelling is so important, because you're like, hey, look, he's doing it,
yes.
or she's doing it, I can do it too.
Right.
And you gain inspiration from people.
That philosophy works in many ways.
It does.
So how long have you been doing Charlotte, the stories?
I've been storytelling with People of Charlotte for 3 years now. I
okay.
just had my three-year anniversary, which I forgot to acknowledge.
Well.
On social media.
We get so busy yeah. with our own lives and the storytelling of others, we forget to tell
yeah.
our own, like you said.
It's a good reminder.
So over the 3 years, there has to be one or two stories that have stood out to you mm-hmm. as just, you know, more special or out of the ordinary. So give us one or two of those, of your favorites.
I would say the one that really, like, opened my heart up so much, and I gained a new friend, and he's no longer with us. He passed away a couple of years ago, was a man named Mr. Weathers, and he was the crossing guard at my children's elementary school, mm-hmm. Selwyn Elementary, and I would see him every morning, and he was so sweet, and every afternoon, and he was just so kind, mm-hmm. and so I went up to him one day and said, hey, can I take you to breakfast, and you know, can you tell me your story? And he told me his story, and it was just, he's just so real and authentic, and it was so refreshing because mm-hmm. it was just him being honest with his story, and he had such a good heart, and we became friends and mm-hmm. proceeded to have a few more breakfasts, you know, after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. It shows and reminds us that we each have an intrinsic value this world needs. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who you are, where you work, where you serve. We all have a role to play, and we all need to embrace that role, I think, is a great way to look at it.
Yeah, I agree. And so often we're so busy and consumed with what's next in our life, we forget to be present mm-hmm. and see the person in front of us. Mm-hmm. And I hope to inspire people to stop and really see and be present and see the person in front of them and how they play a role in their life and how they can shine back on them.
Right. And in today's world of such mental health distress, mm-hmm. that is a great point to make, is to stop and pay attention to everyone that comes across your path. Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you're doing in our city. It makes us only that much better and more aware. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being here today to help me tell my story.
Well, thanks for having me. I found your story so intriguing because you don't come across a lot of people who do what you do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really curious about how you arrived to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Was it always a calling? How you describe it to people, because it is complex. That's why I said, can you describe it in two sentences? Yeah. Like if you had an elevator pitch, what would you say?
I help people out of pain that come to me with physical pain, but it's usually an expression of mental and emotional distress. Mm-hmm. So using all of the modalities that I've been trained in, I try to lead them toward health is basically what I do.
Yeah, right. And that's what everybody wants, right?
I say I'm a massage therapist. That's the easy way to say
it. You're so much that's more than that.
That's my licensure. Right. And that's I let my clients, sell me, I guess, because I'm so busy during the day. But no, it is. It's so as far as was it always a calling, I was very sick as a child. I had asthma really bad, so I was the kid that couldn't keep up in gym, and I was on medication all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think when you go through a health situation like that, especially young, you immediately have a desire to help people because you want other people not to feel that way. And then add to that, I had an aunt that was in nursing her whole career. My mom has been in assisted living for probably a good 25 years or more. So I had that kind of in my sphere of influence. So at first, when I was young, I wanted to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. That was my first desire as a child, to be a nurse. And then as I grew up, what we found out was it was mostly a childhood asthma situation. So as I started to grow up and get stronger and older, I outgrew most of it. So I did end up getting into sports later on, so I got healthier and stronger. And then going through high school and college, I played volleyball, so I became a stronger person mm-hmm. physically. Well, going from college into being a parent and knowing my health history, and there's some other things in my health history we can talk about if you want to, but I had some other occurrences that were pretty life-changing that started pushing me towards a more holistic side of care. Mm-hmm. So getting pushed that way, I knew I couldn't be in the Western medicine style. So researching for my children, how do I keep them healthy? How do I not let them repeat my health mm-hmm. and things like that started pushing me towards that holistic side. And to exactly how I got into the massage world, I grew up in the Carolinas. Went to college in a small school in Tennessee, met my husband there, moved to Michigan for a few years where he was from after we got married and said, enough of that, came back to the Carolinas, and we were at a cookout one day, and we moved here in 08, moved back here in 08 when the market crashed. Both of us were self-employed at the time. So we were both starting over. Yeah,
it was challenging.
In the marriage situation, that was mm-hmm. probably our most difficult year financially. And mm-hmm. finances is one of the most difficult parts of a relationship. But that was a difficult year. So I was trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? Because this isn't working. So as I believe God had it, he sometimes has to present a situation to us because we never would have thought of it, because I think I had one massage in my life and it was just for a birthday, never thought of it as a career or something people do regularly. We were at a cookout and a friend of ours was laying on the floor because his back was out. And as a teenager, I was the bigger sister, so mm-hmm. I was the one that would walk on my dad or smash on his back when his back was out.
Mm-hmm. So you had technique.
I had some intuitive technique. So I was like, hey, listen, I don't know what I'm doing, but I can work on your back for a few minutes because I used to do it to my dad so I can see if I can help you. And I did. And he was like, Sandra, I get a massage every month. And that was like as good or better than her. So I'm like, let me think about that. Because again, I always had that desire to help people be healthy naturally. Mm-hmm. I was an athlete. I played volleyball. So I thought I could combine those two. My degree's in secondary education.
So you've always wanted to be a caretaker, of all, teacher.
Yes, that was in my blood. Yes, absolutely. But I, after getting my degree and doing my student teaching in junior high choir, because I play the piano and sing a little bit, I realized very quickly I didn't like other people's children. So I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work for me. I can't be a teacher.
Well, it's not other people's children. It's like 24, 30 other children.
Yes, exactly. The children that aren't properly parented.
Yeah.
But my personality, I just didn't have the temperament to put up with it. I learned that about myself. But I did have that desire to teach, to help people, that kind of thing. So I had to find the sphere that I fit into to be able to utilize it. So I had that situation occur. I thought about, well, what greater way to combine all of that, the physical and the helping people. And I didn't know where it was going to take me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I also knew with my kids being younger, I think that could be an industry I'd have more control over my time. So I got my license to be a massage therapist. I think I enrolled in school 2 weeks after that event happened.
So that's like you dared greatly at that point in your life because, like you said, the economy was down. You just moved.
Yeah.
So, you know, financially you're trying to find that security, and then you decide to go to school. So that's a very courageous step. Listening to your intuition.
Yeah. And it was hard. I'm not saying it was easy.
Yeah.
My back went out during school because of – and I think it was because of stress.
Sure.
I mean, we just moved to a new place. We have young children. My husband and I had always agreed if we had the ability to put them in private education, we wanted to do that, to be in control of who was influencing them. So we had that to think about. So, yeah, it was a difficult time, but I knew – I wanted to have control over what I did, and I wanted to help people. And as soon as that situation occurred, it was just, this is it. This is how I can have an influence on people's lives and be in control of it and do it how I wanted to.
And I'm sure your husband loved that you could bring your services home.
What's funny is not everyone likes massage, and he's one of those people.
Really?
So he's a very high-functioning he's a painting contractor, so he's very, you know, fast-paced, and for him to lay still that long is more irritating, I think, than what most people enjoy. Mm-hmm. So he actually doesn't like massage a lot, but I make him get it. So I'm like, you need to come in. So his friends all hate him. They're like, I can't believe you don't like massage. But it probably works out for the best.
I was going to say that.
Because if I came home every night and he's like, give me a massage.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
exactly.
No.
Exactly.
So
could wear you
it
out.
Works out well.
Yeah. Maybe as he gets older, certain aches and pains start creeping in.
Yes.
He'll appreciate it.
Yes.
So what exactly is, like, if I came to you and I said, I'm having, you know, carpal tunnel syndrome, symptoms, and instead of going to my doctor and saying, can you fix this surgically, how would you approach it?
So when you start diving into the body and the pain patterns that it has, and any pain that you have is simply an expression, a communication from your body to you that something is up, something is awry. So the problem with the modern medicine approach is to suppress the communication because we don't want to hurt.
Yeah, take a Tylenol.
So, yes, yes. So then we get into that vicious cycle of I need to keep going and doing, so I need to just not hurt and then keep going, and then, well, that makes other problems. So in the world of body work, we'll say, we start to break down the body and figure out why is your body finding the need to give you that communication. I reference to a baby all the time. You know, a baby cries because it wants something from you.
Yeah.
It either needs to be changed, fed, attention, something. It's communicating to you it wants something. So with the way body workers view the body is, what is it that your body is communicating? Why is it expressing itself in that way? Because your brain doesn't want to hurt. Mm-hmm. Your body doesn't want to have to work so hard. And through pain, it doesn't want to do that. It wants an easier route.
Absolutely, because it's exhausting.
Exactly. And it's hard on the brain. It's hard on the body. So when someone comes to me with a symptom, because it is a symptom. So people will get a diagnosis, and that's one of the mental sides of pain, is they get a diagnosis and they become that thing. They start to relegate their life around that diagnosis, which is not a good...
It's kind of like feeding it. Exactly. Feeding into it a little bit, too.
Exactly. So if someone comes to me with an ache or pain or a diagnosis, I start to break down in my thought process what in that limb or what in that part of the body would cause that symptom to happen. And structurally speaking, it usually goes back, because most people's chronic pain is not an acute injury. Mm-hmm. So it's not a fall down the stairs. It's not a car accident. Because people, you ask people why they hurt, like, I don't know, my wrist just...
Well, it's like repetition.
At a desk or something, but for the most part, it's how we use our body over the span of our life and habits that we create. So I start to break down, you know, obviously I use palpation skills. So I'm feeling tissue, I'm feeling muscle, I'm feeling weak muscle, I'm feeling tight muscle, I'm feeling joints that don't move. But then in the certifications that I have and the training I have, I start to break down what muscles are not working well. Because if a muscle is not firing properly, the brain is not communicating to it, you're still moving. You're still going and doing. So how is that happening? Mm-hmm. It has to be through compensation. So if one muscle isn't working well, another one is doing more than it should.
Which eventually wears that muscle out and kind of exacerbates the whole situation. Yep,
absolutely. And so there's a progression of that, mm-hmm. that unstable pattern. The first thing is usually a muscle will overwork. Then another muscle will overwork. Then you have several of them overworking. If that progression lasts long enough and we don't stabilize the joint, one of the next steps is forced joint closure. So you hear I have an impingement. That's a fancy word everybody likes to use. I have an impingement, so now I have to have surgery or I have to take this medicine to help. Well, if you have an impingement, mm-hmm. the only way to help an impingement is to, you know, release that joint. And, well, if we release it, is it going to be stable then? If I just cut something and move it around, did I really fix the problem that was there to begin with?
Well, then you have new weaknesses to recover from.
Yeah, and so we could get into scars. Scars are huge when it comes to body work and the healing process that goes in there. So that's what I do when someone comes to me in pain, is I start to break down the body and try to work that domino effect backwards that got them to where they are.
Do you feel like you have like a kind of like an intuitive approach too? Like you just kind of are guided by your intuition along with what you've been trained in?
Well, because of the world that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So when you get into the world of body work, you also get into the world of energy and energy healing and things like that. So I know some people that are truly intuitive on a scary level. So when you ask me if I'm intuitive, in my mind, I'm not intuitive like that. Mm-hmm. I am very observant. I'm very good at listening, not just with my ears, but listening to your body. Mm-hmm. So with craniosacral training, I'm very good at realizing how your body's responding to work. I watch how people move. I watch how they talk. I watch their eye contact. I watch their body language. So I'm constantly just receiving information to help me learn how their body got to the state that it's in.
Sure.
So intuitive, in my definition, I would say no. But intuitive, using the skills that I have, yes.
Yeah. It sounds like you're extremely present with each client.
Yes.
Because you'd have to be to observe like all what you just described.
Right. So. Which, interestingly enough, if you've never heard of craniosacral therapy, there's a reason why. Because, number one, it's an advanced training that you have to go through and you pay for it yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you're not invested in the industry, you're not going to do that. But with craniosacral work, as the practitioner, you have to be a person that is able to be very grounded, very calm, and very present. And that's very difficult for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is, especially in today's world with everything just kind of what's next.
You're constantly thinking about what you have to do after work. And so for whatever reason, I was created with the personality, and I'm sure there's some psychology behind how I came through my situation and learned to adapt and overcome, but that's just one of the things my clients have told me over the years is I've never felt this relaxed in a session. I've never fallen asleep during a massage. I've never gone for a two-hour massage and actually lost track of time. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, one of the things that is different about me is I do have that, I believe, God-given ability to be present with people and to be calm, because that's what you need. And not to get too hokey-pokey about it, but it really can come down to almost like not a religious experience, but we have the ability to adapt. Our brain is wired to adapt and keep going and ignore. So that's a lot of times why we get into the state that we're in with pain, because I'm a mom. I have to keep taking care of the kids. I have a job. I have to go to work. It doesn't matter why. So I take, you know, a pain suppressant and we keep going and we forget the pain. I always describe it like this. So we put on our clothes in the morning and we know we're putting our clothes on.
Yeah.
But we are not aware of the sensation of feeling our clothes all day long, or it would drive our nervous system nuts. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do with pain. We disassociate with it. We put it in the back corner and then keep moving forward. Well, that eventually will catch up with you. So when someone has a good body work session with someone that knows how to work the body, because there are a myriad of different styles of body work, places you can mm-hmm. get it from, people's ability level, individual's intentional level. But when you get a good session with someone that knows what they're doing, they can read the body, it's one of those things where you as an individual are brought back to yourself, and there's no disguising what you see. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else you can turn your attention to.
It's kind of like I hear you describing yourself. So I think that you, it sounds like you found your flow. You found mm-hmm. like what your calling truly is. Mm-hmm. So I imagine as your clients kind of lose track of time on the table with you, mm-hmm. you lose track of time, and because you're so focused on what you're yeah. doing and also really authentically enjoy what you're doing.
Right. Well, people always ask me, they're like, how do you do this all day long? Because I'll do 10-hour days of body work. And I do take care of myself to be able to do that. But I do. I like an 8-hour, 10-hour day will go by, and I do multiple 2-hour sessions. And it's just, I'm like, it's 8 o'clock at night? What? What's going on? But I do. And I think that's one of the reasons I love what I do, because every session is different. Mm-hmm. So it's not the same thing by any stretch of the imagination when you start getting into your pattern and how you got the way you are. So mm-hmm. every single session I do is different.
Every single person's every different single puzzle person. That you we're have all to figure
snowflake.
Out.
That's my phrase. We are. We're all different. I don't care if you came with carpal tunnel and the next client came with carpal tunnel. You both got it in a different way.
Yeah.
And the story behind how your body is expressing mm-hmm. itself is different. And that's my job, is to try to help you figure it out, and then work together to bring your body back to homeostasis, which is the best possible place for your body to be as healthy as it can be, all systems functioning as well as possible.
Yeah. And speaking of like kind of ailments that are so different from person to person to person, as a society, we're becoming more and more aware of concussions, mm-hmm. You know, from the NFL to kids in school playing mm-hmm. sports, parents now are, the concussion protocols are taken much more seriously mm-hmm. than they used to be. Like yes. when we were younger, you hit your head and they're like, get back out there, yeah, right? And yeah. now there's a whole list of questions and symptom checkers. So when a patient comes to you with mm-hmm. a concussion, mm-hmm. do you treat all ages, and kind of describe the process
sure.
with what happens when you have a concussion and how you play a role in helping that patient get back to mm-hmm. homeostasis?
Absolutely. So there's definitely a time frame that we're going to be working with, and I'm definitely going to be working with their primary care physicians. Whenever I talk about Western medicine and modern medicine, I'm not excluding it. I definitely work with it. Mm-hmm. It's just not my choice of style. I just wanted to make sure yeah. people understood that. I'm not saying an either or. It's yeah. both and when. Mm-hmm. So definitely working with their primary care. If it's just happened, they're obviously going to be going through a concussion protocol and steps necessary to get them where they're functional. I would come into play after that. Mm-hmm. So any age, for sure. When someone has a concussion, it can be as simple as you holding your baby and them headbutting you, which happens to everybody.
Yes, I remember.
You know,
that.
I mean, you literally can see stars, and it's uh-huh. it can be, and that's the kind of things that we forget about and we put off because, you know, my nose is sore, but
yeah.
you know, you could literally have shifted something. And if you were, depending on how you were born, if you were sucked out, you may have already had something in there shifted to begin with, and then that knock in the head further shifted it. So it's a very broad scope of dysfunction that can happen.
Very complex.
Very complex. So, you know, my past history working with this is I've seen a wide range of people come in. I had a client that when she came in, I had to make sure that all the lights were off, all the music was off. There was no aromatherapy being diffused. Every sensation possible could have made her sick yeah. or dizzy.
Her system's already overloaded, overstimulated.
Just the nerves were just shot. And she was released from her protocol, but she was still having all these symptoms. She had to wear dark glasses all the time. So again, anytime your body's doing anything out of the ordinary, that's not ordinary.
Yeah.
There's a reason that it's doing that. So no matter what your healthcare provider says to you, you know what's going on in your body and you know what is normal. Mm-hmm. And I've learned over my career, I've been doing this for over 10 years, that most people intuitively know more about their body than any test will ever tell them.
Oh, absolutely.
Or any doctor will say, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, I had one client, she had a concussion, and all of a sudden, if she heard one genre of movie or if a dialect of language, that would make her sick.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it's just, you have to remember everything is about nerves. Everything is about the brain. If something's getting compressed because of shifting of movement or fluid, mm-hmm. then something is going to have an effect. You can't not have that. So it's just one of those situations where, you know, I meet people where they are. Some people can't lay face down because it'll make them sick. So I adapt to whatever their needs are. If like, even tinnitus, ringing of the ears, can be debilitating. Mm-hmm. I worked on one client sitting in a chair for their session. So whatever they need to do, wherever they are, is where I meet them, and then start to introduce the style of treatment that I would use for them, usually craniosacral in that situation, mm-hmm. to bring balance.
So what does that look like? So
look how like, do you just feel like?
Yeah. So it's kind of hard to imagine. Most people are kind of like the brain is behind a hard skull.
Yeah. Let
so
me explain
how do you get
it.
There?
Yeah, it's a hard skull, but it's just harder tissue.
Yeah.
Is really what it is. So I'll explain it this way. So if your child falls down and hurts their knee, mm-hmm. and you run over to them and you put your hand on their leg or you hold them, you don't aggressively do that, do you?
No.
You're like, ah, or like, no. Your knee's fine. Some fathers may do that, my husband.
Maybe if they just run out
hurt?
From the car and like
yeah, exactly.
Parents panicked.
So you very slowly approach them. You hold them softly. Because we have different nerve endings, and different nerve endings, there's different expressions of them, and there is different receptors of them. So they receive different amounts of pressure. The system that receives communication that will affect the craniosacral system, which is the fluid component of the brain and spinal column, mm-hmm. is communicated to by lighter pressure. So neck massage is awesome. Head massage is super awesome. But when you go to cranial work, it's a very still, light pressure technique, mm-hmm. which you think wouldn't work a lot. And the one way I describe this is, you know, when you're young and in school and the class is being rowdy and everybody's screaming and yelling, mm-hmm. the teacher comes in and has a couple options. She starts screaming and yelling to be quiet, which usually doesn't work because you can't hear her,
uh-huh.
or she'll turn the lights off.
Yeah.
And that usually works because mm-hmm. it's a different sensory input.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have compression or restriction of any sort, it could be tissue, muscle, bone, fluid buildup, then we often need a different communication into that area because there's so much firing up in there with the brain because it's telling you something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason that work works. So with the cranial session, it was founded by an osteopathic doctor. There's many different certification courses people can go through. Upledger is my choice. But he started playing with the brain and the head and how it worked because he saw so many clients having these same patterns of situations. He's like, well, I know I can affect everything from here down. I should be able to affect up here too.
Mm-hmm.
So he started testing with himself. He'd put a hat on and like tighten it up 3 notches and tighten it up another notch, and by the end of the day, he was dizzy just from compression from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that as women, wearing mm-hmm. a ponytail, a head starts
exactly.
to hurt.
Or a headband.
So that's a little influence into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So a craniosacral session, because of how I work, I love to combine traditional massage with cranial. That's why I love doing 2-hour sessions, which is unusual,
mm-hmm.
because I like to calm the body down and then go into cranial work. There are practitioners that do straight cranial work, so you may go in and only have your head work done.
Well, it's kind of like some people, like a friend of mine recently had a massage,
mm-hmm.
and she said, I wish it lasted longer because it took me 30 minutes to relax,
oh, yeah,
and by
exactly.
the time I got relaxed,
yes,
it was over.
Yes.
So that I think that speaks to like the how important it is to for the patient to be your client. It's
yes.
to be relaxed.
It takes them a while to get in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there, one of the practitioners that I learned from, one of the way he starts sessions, especially with people on the higher end of that sympathetic nervous system,
mm-hmm.
is he'll, you know, client will be laying face down and he'll of course, they know they're about to enter into a manual therapy session, so they know they're going to get touched. But he won't tell them exactly where he's going to touch them on their body. And, for example, just put his hand very lightly on their low back or on their sacrum and ask them, do you know where I'm placing my hand? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have no idea.
Really?
Because their brain and their body are so disconnected, uh-huh. they don't even have a sensation for that level of pressure. Of course, if he pushed hard and shook, then they would know. But that's a good indicator of where they are on that paradigm. So, you know, with cranial work is, I call it my secret sauce. Because it definitely has a lot to do with the head, but it's a philosophy of reading the body and associating with it in a way. It's just a great means of communication and awareness that influences all of my body work.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's a whole system, mm-hmm. right?
And absolutely.
And it's all linked together. Have you had the fortune or unfortunate ability or opportunity, I should say, to have to work on your children, own children?
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Right now I'm going through it with my daughter. So for whatever reason, I blame my country heritage. She was born without 6 adult teeth. Uh-huh. So I don't know if you've ever heard this, but your jaw, your teeth, everything in here, if it is offline, affects your spine. So she was born without those teeth, so they're not coming in. Uh-huh. So she's going through braces right now. Stuff's moving around, and she's super strong, but she's had some things happen to her back and her neck that I can only associate and put towards that issue with her teeth. So I work on her very regularly.
Because there's nerve endings that are in each tooth, right?
Yes. And I mean, you have to think about it. If your jaw, you know, people suffer with TMJ, and there's mm-hmm. many reasons TMJ comes about. But if your jaw's misaligned, your head's going to go with it. Or if you're restricted in movement, mm-hmm. then your neck's restricted, which is going to affect everything. So everything's connected. So, yeah, definitely. I work on her regularly. And then even with my husband, he was an athlete, so he had mm-hmm. some injuries. And every once in a while, he'll have a flare-up of his shoulder. Where if I tried to work on him before I learned cranial work, I couldn't even touch him.
Really?
But now with cranial work, I can work on it when it has, like if he does baseboards or ceilings or something where he's reaching up or down a lot, it'll flare up and have like gas feeling. So that's, and I'll use, he'll come over to me and he's like, can you do that thing?
Give me magic.
Yeah, that thing. But yeah, so I mean, I have to use it on them. And I've had to have it myself. I've had 2 oral surgeries in the matter of 30 days last year. So, I mean, there's always a way to implement it and a necessity for it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you a question again about kind of the teeth to the whole body wellness mm-hmm. Connection. I find it fascinating because so many people have dental work and don't mm-hmm. give 2 thoughts about it, like have a root canal, have a crown, have implants. And so how does that do? Have you noticed a commonality amongst those clients going, I just had a dental implant and now I feel off?
Yes, 100%. Like all the time.
Wow.
Because it's first of all, you're having people like, you know, in this part of your face and your mouth is in that opening mm-hmm. thing for a long time. So there's so much that's going on there that's really traumatic. But then if you have a shift of anything out of its natural place, or if you're fixing it, if you had some irregularities, then your body has to adjust to that. Mm-hmm. And if it's been over time and multiple occurrences, then not only is there the immediate physical thing going on, but now you've got this trauma built into your head of people in your face and in your mouth. Mm-hmm. So then you add the trauma component and the mental and emotional component to pain. And that's huge as well. So some people will get to the point where the thought of someone being in their face and in their mouth doing another surgery or another anxiety.
Yeah.
So again, that's where I come in to play with people is I start where they're ready for me to start. So I have several clients that have jaw issues. One of my clients had their jaw like purposefully broken as a child because there was just some dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And then they had to go in and do a surgery and just, I mean, on top of each other.
Which is lifelong ramifications.
Crazy, crazy situation. And so with her, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to work on your mouth today mm-hmm. because you've had enough of that. So I'm going to start on your pecs. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she doesn't know, but she does. But, you know, all of this connects up here. So mm-hmm. if you get to be okay with me working here, because all of your anterior neck muscles get tight and restricted as you begin to want to cover and protect. Mm-hmm. If I can get this relaxed, I can slowly slide into doing cranial work. So it's kind of, you know, again, meet them where they are and slowly work my way into where they're comfortable working on that part of the body that's the problem.
It's fascinating. It makes sense. And so I think that the medical community you mentioned before is starting to recognize the importance of the work that you do, yes. Right?
Yeah. We are hoping to get more of a presence there. The hiccup in that situation is always insurance.
Of course, yeah.
So you're typically going to be self-pay for body work. Mm-hmm. But there are some facilities I have heard that are bringing manual therapists on staff, which I think is only going to help them if they would do that. And then it's just sticky with that situation because you do have some professions, including body work, but then because of how insurance works, mm-hmm. they get 15-minute increments.
Yeah, and you need more time.
15 minutes to me would just make me mad.
Because mm-hmm. you're just getting started.
Yeah, it's just so, but I'm always a proponent of getting what you can when you can. Mm-hmm. But with restrictions in the body, it takes time to get the body to be okay with releasing it.
So they have to almost approach it like physical therapy, you know, when they give you an hour. But you can see the progress because mm-hmm. before, like say, dry needling wasn't in many practices, mm-hmm. and now a lot of orthopedics are offering dry needling.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll keep progressing and we'll have more of an impact because we can have a great impact as body workers.
Speaking of impact then, like how do you find most of your clients? How do they find you?
I've been a solo practitioner for a little over 3 years. Mm-hmm. I worked at a spa for the first 7. So now I'm in the place where I don't really have to find anyone because my clients are doing it for me.
Yeah.
So they're
the best way.
They're finding, you know, education. That's what I'm huge on is I am not here to fix you. If someone mm-hmm. comes to me and says that, which happens almost every day, because that's how we've been trained in this modern medicine, take this, you feel better, uh-huh. or let me do this to you and you feel better. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a willing ignorance. But when someone comes to me and says, I need you to fix me, I tell them right away, I can't fix you. I can give you material. I can give you information. I can provide you with awareness. I use my tools to be the detective, mm-hmm. but you have to change your body. Your health and your wellness has to come from inside. So I see it every day because I have people come to me with the same, they present with the same things, mm-hmm. same body style, same age, same, you know, pain pattern. And I'll see them go in two different ways because one will implement the things that I give them and one chooses not to. And
so you're stay saying in pain. That people have to go home and do work?
Yes.
Give homework?
Exactly. Yeah. Not in the matter of concussions. I mean, there's obviously stuff they can do to help themselves, mm-hmm. but when it comes to your overall pain patterns, 100%.
Any quick pieces of advice that you give people, say that they have like knee issues or lower back issues?
It's sure.
Like very, very
absolutely.
Common.
So the first thing you can do is to become body aware. The general rule of thumb for your body being in proper alignment is your ear over your shoulder, over your hip, over your ankle. Mm-hmm. So any habits that you have that take you out of that, or any things that you do that take you out of that structure as a habit will end up creating a dysfunctional movement pattern. Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, what would take me out of that? The mama hip.
Yes.
Carrying a baby on one side.
Yeah.
With ladies, that attitude stance, kicking that leg out. With men, there's a lot of patterning that goes to psychosomatic type things. So how mm-hmm. we present our bodies into the world based on how we feel. Men typically have that lazy, spread their legs apart, feet pointing out, roll back on the pelvis. Mm-hmm. That's going to create weak posterior chain muscles. And their hamstrings are going to be chronically tight. Well, it's not your hamstrings' fault. They're trying to help. How we sleep is a huge, huge one. And that also comes into psychosomatic things. So laying on your stomach or laying in the fetal position is safe. Mm-hmm. It's guarding. So if you have anxiety, you have things going on in your life, that is a safe place to mm-hmm. stay. If we have inhibitions in our body, I talk about C-section scars a lot. We're hiding. If we've gained some weight and we're conscious of our body, we start mm-hmm. to curl into the front.
You see that with adolescent girls a lot, too.
That are starting to develop. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That, you know, when I see that, I'll say, like, don't, you know, stand up straight.
Yeah, encouraging. Yep, encouraging your daughters to stand mm-hmm. tall and strong, walk into a room like they own it. You know, mm-hmm. I told my daughter loud and proud when she was younger, walk into a room loud and proud, no matter what. So, yeah, all of those little things that we do as a habit, well down the road, create pain because your body. So, like, you can imagine if you stood on two separate scales. Mm-hmm. If you're doing that baby hip thing, you're going to have more weight on this side.
Yeah.
So that means this side's more load-bearing. Mm-hmm. And then you create a habit out of that. Something's got to give in the middle.
Absolutely, yeah. And I also think about the mind-body connection. Someone once said to me, if you always walk around with, like, your shoulders up like this mm-hmm. or sit there like this on the computer, like, that's tension. And then that communicates to your brain that you're tense and maybe anxiety and stressed. So if you drop your shoulders, mm-hmm. you'll immediately feel a sense of physical release, but mm-hmm. also relief, but also mental relief.
Absolutely. How we carry our bodies is extremely important and either helpful for us or harmful mm-hmm. to how we move throughout life.
Yeah. So when you're at a party, it's like when a dentist or a doctor's at a party, people come up and go, "Hey, I've got this, like, back thing."
Yeah.
So do you mind when friends?
Oh, I love it. Okay. I mean, I tell people, how long of an answer do you want? No, I absolutely love it because people hurt. People are hurting. And it's not, if you're not hurting right now, you should be very thankful. You should be happy and you should be doing for other people because it's not going to be very long before something happens. It could be an injury at the gym. It could be just anything because we're human. Things happen. Our bodies go through things. But people are hurting. And when you hurt, it affects every avenue of your life.
Yeah.
And some people get to a point or have had things happen to them that are absolutely devastating to them and their family. And I see it every day. I mean, I have people every day that are at their wit's end. And it becomes a mental block to be in that much pain. So I love talking about the body. I love helping people figure out their body. I just love it. I talk about it all day long.
The care and the light work that you do. So earlier we kind of opened up with you asking me, like, if I had a favorite story or one that stood out in my mind. So I'm going to kind of turn that back on you and say, do you have a story of a client where you saw – like, such dramatic results, or they came to you and were like, thank you so much, you've changed my life, or, like, you know, it just that fulfilled you as well.
I mean, honestly, I'm not kidding when I say it happens every day, because when you give someone a little glimmer of hope, I mean, I have people cry in my office all the time. It just happens. But specific stories, I have had someone tell me I saved their marriage,
which is crazy. Good.
But to put that in perspective, when you don't feel good in your body, for whatever reason that may be, then you're not participating at the level you could be with your family, with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, with society as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
So if I can in some way help you figure that out, which usually comes back to an injury that prompted a chain of events that are just horrible. If we can start working that backwards, and because I've been in this so long and I've learned how all the other systems of the body work, I haven't learned all about them, but I've learned so much about them. If I manually don't have what I need to help them through something, I can refer them out to someone, or I can give them information that will help them get this other system healthy as well. And that's what I do. And that's why I created this podcast, is to be a platform for, I don't have everything at my disposal to help you with, but I can give you this information to start you on a path to heal that. So being able to do that for people, it's life-changing because people are so busy. They don't have time to be researchers and to figure out all these things. And they're so stuck in their regimen and their life that it doesn't even cross their mind to associate some parts of the body with the other, or an injury that I had as a child to my shoulder now. Like, oh, well, yeah, everything is connected. Or, I mean, crazy stuff. Like, just the way that procedures have been done in the past are just insane to me, and people aren't taught how to recover and how to heal their body. And so if I can bring them, my C-section stories are my favorite because they're so encompassing. You know, an ankle injury is an ankle injury.
Yes.
We can help someone through that. Yeah. But a C-section, there are so many components to that. So your body has been altered.
It's psychological, I imagine.
It's hugely psychological. You went through a surgery on the day that you had your child. Usually there is some other aspects to that situation that have long-term effects, like either you or the child were sick or there is some other health problem or the recovery from the surgery didn't go well or just a myriad of things. And then you build up this thought process about your body. A lot of times it's negative. You begin to disassociate with it. You don't want to look at the scar. You don't want to touch the scar. And that creates this negative feedback loop for yourself to your body that plays out in a not great way. So thinking about all of that, and if anyone's had that happen to them, I know exactly what I'm talking about. So not only we have the structural issues of the scar and the tissue that is involved in that and the weakness of the core that comes about with that, but you have the mental side of it. So when someone comes in for low back pain, they have no idea I'm going to be working on their stomach. So they, and I'd gradually get them there. I don't just go straight at it. But that's one of my intake questions is, have you had any surgeries? And usually they say no. Sometimes they say no when they've had a C-section.
It doesn't occur to them.
Because they don't associate it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, of course, I keep asking questions till I find, especially if I can't figure out something just through the first, you know, question and answer time. But getting them to the point where, you know, cutting any tissue has an effect on the nerves and the fascia and the muscle. So let me kind of go see what's going on there. And I start to manually work on the scar. And sometimes it is like a brick wall.
Tightness
the scar
in there,
tissue
right?
is like a, it feels like a bone. It's so hard. And they have no idea because they're like hands off. They don't, that's what, that's how some people handle that situation.
Do you also like, is there, do you believe in like that mind body connection in the framework that if you're thinking negatively about a body part, it makes it worse. You're kind of like sending negative energy there and it just compounds it.
I don't just believe it. It's proven that that's how it works. You can think yourself sick and you can think yourself well. So absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the, my, it, all of my clients that come to me will have heard this at some point is no negative self-talk, not in my office. Because that it's not beneficial. So only forward thinking, only healing, only progressive speech. Because your body hears you. It's, you know, it hears what you're saying, and the way you think affects the way you feel, which affects the way you present yourself to the world. So if you're only thinking negative, you're going to feel negative, and you're going to do negative.
Yeah.
So if you can create a positive mind frame, which is what's coming in your eyes.
Yes.
What's coming in your ears, other people. What situations you're involved with. One of my other sayings is I don't have time for joy robbers. If you're in my life and taking joy from me, you have no place in my life. Unless I'm married to you and we have to deal with that. It's just negativity is...
Use your magic on that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll zap him. But negativity is a poison in any capacity.
Oh, yeah. It'll bring you down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it just... in the same way, like how you can kind of numb yourself from physical pain, your own physical pain for a while, I think you can numb yourself to people's negativity for a while. But after a while, you're like... I just don't like this friction anymore.
Yeah, I mean, people, think of it. When you go on vacation, if you get the opportunity to go on a long vacation, you feel great.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're away from everything and everybody. Like, I have so many people that will, or even on massage day, people will come in for their massage, and they will have had been hurting for a while, and they come in for their massage, like, I feel great today. I'm like, because your body knows you're about to take care of it for once. This year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my clients are more regular than that, but you get the idea. So, yes, your brain is so powerful in your healing if you utilize it correctly.
So you also need to do, like, you know, self-affirmations, you know?
It's like, absolutely.
I mean, this kind of goes back to that Saturday Night Live skit when we were younger. It's really like, you know, there's a lot of truth behind that.
Yes. I mean, it's basic psychology. And one of the things I'll have my clients do, especially women that I work with that have body image issues, first of all, stop negative self-talk. Just, you're done with it. Anything you say is moving you forward. I'm working on this. I'm going to do this. I'm aiming at this, whatever. I'll have them take 3 post-it notes, and in their on their bathroom mirror, I'll have them write 2 physical attributes about themselves that they love. And when I say that to some people, they start crying.
Wow.
Because they have such really a negative feeling about their body. They can't even think of a part of their body they can say they love.
Yeah, the relationship has gotten so bad.
Yes. And that can come from many avenues, from just themselves, from how they're being treated by someone else. But I honestly have had people cry just that prompt. And, you know, how unfortunate is that? because our bodies are amazing. Mm-hmm. And you have to think about what your body has gotten you through and what it's still getting you through, no matter what you say about it and say to it and do to it or don't do for mm-hmm. it. It's still going for you. So we need to give our bodies grace and kindness. So they'll have them take 3 post-it notes mm-hmm. and they'll put 1 post-it note up that says a physical attribute I love about myself. And I have to write it down so you can find one. I know you can. And then I'm going to have you find another one. Mm-hmm. You're going to find another one that you like about yourself, a physical attribute that you love. And then the third one would be a part of your personality traits that you love or that people enjoy about you. Mm-hmm. Because we need to be connected with those parts of what makes us who we are.
Our gifts.
Yes, that we, yeah. yes. Because moms mm-hmm. often lose their identity throughout mm-hmm. the years of motherhood. They become the caregiver, and they think they're doing a good thing by expending themselves for their children, but then they lose their identity. So becoming reassociated with mm-hmm. who we are, the things we love to do, how we help other people, what other people enjoy about, what do people enjoy about being around you? Do they enjoy anything?
Well, I think a lot of people don't stop and give themselves that acknowledgement.
Right.
And really,
because we feel unworthy.
Be mindful that way.
Which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we need to remind ourselves of how worthy we are, that we have an intrinsic value that is necessary for the world, and start to hone in on those things. So what I have them do is write those things down, mm-hmm. and over a 2-week period, especially because they're usually going through something. They're going through a recovery, or they're going through a pain pattern, or you know, coming out of a bad situation or what have you. Focus on those things. So whatever those 2 attributes are, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, obviously I likely get a haircut. So if it's my hair, just invest in that haircut. Find that thing that you love about yourself and invest in it.
I have to ask
whatever
you,
that looks like.
Not to go lighter on the conversation, but I love your haircut.
Thank you.
It's awesome. So how often do you have to get your hair cut?
Well, I get it cut every 3 to 4 weeks, but I trim it myself too.
Yeah. So you do.
Don't awesome. I hope my stylist isn't listening. But yeah.
Well, part of self-care,
yeah.
right? And I just have to ask.
But so I have them focus and invest in those physical attributes. Mm-hmm. Money does not have to be part of it. There's different ways to invest in ourselves. And then the third one is hone in on that personality trait that you love about yourself or that's helpful for other people. Mm-hmm. Start utilizing it. Start doing it more often. Because the more that you do for others, the better you feel about yourself.
Yeah, and I think I 100% relate to where you're coming from with that because, you know, having the storytelling platform, I ask people, you should share your story. What's mm-hmm. your story? And people go, I don't have a story to share.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start asking them questions and they realize they do have a story because everyone has a story.
Yes.
My kids walk around like everyone has a story, but they do. You do.
Well, we grade ourselves based on comparison, which is never a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, 5'10" girl, it's not always rosy because mm-hmm. people compare themselves and that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
When I have clients that come in that are hurting and I work out a lot, you can't compare yourself to anyone but your better self.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have to get away from. And social media is difficult. And I try to be very cautious of that and my presence there because of that,
mm-hmm.
because I'm dealing with people every day that are hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to be very cautious of how I present that. But we have to get back to not comparing ourselves to anyone, but the best version of who we could be. And so if we could do that, that would be a huge step forward in our progress.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has, like you said, everybody has a different story. And that's how I see everyone is you got the way you are based on a myriad of events that mm-hmm. no one knows about
mm-hmm.
and probably never will and probably couldn't handle.
And
they wouldn't have the capacity to.
And
look what you've done.
Yeah.
You're still here. Yeah. You're still going. You're still doing the things you need to do through life. So give yourself some grace for that and
mm-hmm.
gratitude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that we just don't stop and do that enough. And I you see people when they do share their story
mm-hmm.
and other how people respond to it.
Yes.
It lifts them. And
yes.
And other people say, well, I didn't know that about you. And
right.
I'm so proud of you. And that person feels recognized. And so we just don't stop and recognize ourselves
right.
enough for like what we do and what we can do
yes.
and show gratitude
mm-hmm.
to our mind and body.
Absolutely. It's key in the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Wow, it's awesome that you're helping so many people in Charlotte feel better and get to
I hope
their,
so.
And,
you know, I've taken the one-on-one aspect into doing more classroom-style education courses
mm-hmm.
and, you know, going to corporate events and teaching a class of body awareness. So that's one of the ways I'm trying to get to more people, is not just in the clinical setting, but that's another avenue I've started in over the past year. So that's been fun as well, because it's very fun to get a group of people together.
Oh, yeah.
And if they're willing to come be demos, and I'll assess their posture right in front of everyone, have them do some different things. So that's been fun too. So there's a fun side of it too. It's not all serious and, you know,
for sure.
body work. But
so that's, I think wellness can be fun, mm-hmm. and because it's so rewarding once you make all those incremental steps and feel better and better, mm-hmm. and better. Going back to earlier conversation, I kind of see you like talking to teachers. Like they handle a lot of stimulation,
yes,
and
yes.
Are on their feet a lot. And
teachers, nurses, hairstylists. My most troublesome clients are my surgeons and my dental people,
because oh, really?
They're like this all the time.
Yeah,
and you know, people that sit at a desk.
Yeah.
And so there's just, you know, we all do things with our bodies that. I'm hyper aware of my body. So people always, and this is a nice story to tell too. When I was young, I was tall, very young. So I had a few people in my life, my mom and her sisters were like, be proud that you're tall. And they were encouraged, like, be awesome. You'd be thankful that you're tall. Stand up and be happy about it. So I had some very positive influence. So that kind of started me in that way. But then being an athlete and trying to stay strong, that definitely helps. And so when I'm talking to women, especially when we're talking about family and life and raising children, raising girls, if you have dynamics in your life, this is totally off topic, but it still goes into body work because everything does associate with your body. But if you have dynamics in your life like divorce or relationship issues, mm-hmm. or moving around a lot because of work, just things that throw the normal system awry, mm-hmm. you have to be even more intentional with your children of how they view themselves in the world.
Yeah.
So especially with girls, because boys are usually more, you know, rambunctious, and that's how they're supposed to be. And so girls have a tougher time of it. And if there's anything going on that throws the normal realm of life awry in their developing stages, you need to be even more intentional about your encouragement. One of the silly things that I use, but it works, is when my daughter, she's 18 now, so she's mm-hmm. pretty good to go. But when she was younger, if she was having a bad hair day or a bad, you know, acne day, I'd be like, hey, you want my red lipstick?
Yeah.
And give her my red lipstick, and it just turned her day around. She felt great, and she moves forward with a positive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the little things that we need to look for as parents and moms to help our children start at a place of positive body image. That's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And to be watching for those things. And to, if we are in a situation where we're a single parent, things like that, find people in your community, because they are there. They want to help. That can help you
mm-hmm.
be a better influence, help you on the parts that you may be missing in whatever dynamic you have. But in those situations, you need to take a little more effort into helping build up that good body image, because it starts young.
Positive community for your
Absolutely.
For your children, your family. Because like you said, like everything, the mind and body is so connected.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some people stress eat and some people can't eat when they're stressed.
Yep.
It's just how that unique individual
mm-hmm.
reacts.
Mm-hmm.
So recognizing them from that early age will really help with them, with their future selves.
You cannot separate them.
No.
And I say it all the time, you know, we think we can put ourselves in pieces. You know, if I'm in the gym all the time and I have that physical component down, got it in the bag, I can deal with the other stuff later.
No.
If you are super smart, you're well read, you can communicate well, you're good at your craft, you're good at what you do, you're the best person in the office, the physical I'll deal with later. Or if you're, you know, very intuitive and emotionally supportive of other people, and you're doing for others all the time, and you're the person everybody goes to for everything, but I'm not honing in my craft, I'm not taking care of my physical, guess what? They're all below mm-hmm. what they could be.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at ourselves as a whole and get all of those different pieces at the best functioning level possible to be as best as we could be in the world.
Mm-hmm. And we all know what those pieces are, because
mm-hmm.
there's that little voice in the back of your head that says,
yes.
you should be doing this, or you do that, or this is your calling.
Yeah.
We hear it.
Yeah.
We hear it a lot in our gut.
Yes.
Like, you know, just intuitively in our gut and heart, and our head talks us out of it. But I love how, first of all, your kids are just blessed to have you because.
Well, if you talk to them, they will tell you all of my imperfections. They are many.
Well, we're all perfectly imperfect. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I love my children. There is, and in my story, going back to a little bit of what I've dealt with, is I wasn't supposed to be able to have my second child. I've had issues with ovarian cysts since I was 17. That's another reason I'm so passionate about what I do, because I was told I probably wouldn't have any more children. And during that time, that was before I learned more of the holistic side of life. I just intuitively knew that my body wants to be strong and healthy as an athlete. I'm just going to eat healthy. I'm going to ask my husband for more snuggles. I'm going to just do all the good things to try to help my body. Well, after that last surgery, which was a borderline cancerous tumor that did damage on some other organs that had to have removed, I have a cesarean cut. I didn't have both my children born naturally, but I have that scar that I keep talking about, so I know why it's so powerful. But going through that situation, being told that, and again, in my situation, it was just a horrible round of events because I was being communicated all of these things before the surgery. I was standing up in some doctor's office, and I had to ask for a chair to be able to sit down in while he was talking about cancer survival rates and my name in the same sentence.
Wow.
So there's a reason I'm so passionate about you being in control of your health, not stopping regardless of what you're told.
Mm-hmm.
Until you're under the dirt, there's hope. And that's my view of life.
Yeah.
And there's hope and there's joy to be found in any circumstance. So that's why I'm so passionate about what I do and one of the things that fuels me. Because I've been there. I've been hurt. I've been in a physical capacity. One of the stories I like to tell is I was recovering from that surgery and my daughter, I probably shouldn't say this, but I was having a bad day, and she was like, "Mom, get up, and you need to take care of me."
Oh,
just, you know, shoot me now.
Yeah.
So I've been there. I know what it's like. I've been in those situations, and then I've come on the other side, and that's what I want people to see. That's why I do this podcast. That's why I have people on, like you said earlier. If I can meet someone that's been through this same situation I have, and they're living a fulfilling life to the capacity that they're able to reach, then I can do it too.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope to portray with people is, you know, no matter what your story is, and my story, to finish it off, I was told that I had a surgery in November and I got pregnant with my son in January.
Wow.
So I have a boy and a girl.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah, and they're both amazing. I love them. They're have their own personalities, and it's been a joy. And parenting is a whole other topic I'd love to talk about.
Oh, goodness, right?
But no, I mean, your health, there's no thing else more important. Money comes and goes.
Oh, yeah.
People come and go.
Yeah.
But if you don't have your health, you have nothing.
It's very true. Very true. I spent the weekend with a friend who has terminal cancer, and she wasn't supposed to make it a year, and she's almost 7 years out.
Wow.
And while she's still battling it on a daily basis, she's here because of her attitude.
Yes.
So again, I 100% understand where you're coming from and understand why you do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for being a bright light in the community.
You. I try. I hope so.
You are.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, and I appreciate being here. And I think that it's awesome that you finally shared your story.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to have shared it. I hope it helps someone. You know, that's the reason I do all of this, is to try to be an encouragement to people and to show them it can be done, give them the tools that they need to be the best version of themselves. And that's why you do it too.
Yeah.
Because you have your own story to tell. And by telling others, we can give a little piece of ourselves every time, being facilitating that. So thank you so much for being here and helping me tell my story, because it would be a little weird if it was just me talking the whole time. So I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And we will be definitely looking for your next story.
Uh-huh.
And how can people find you?
On peopleofclt.com, and the same handle on all social media.
Awesome. And go back and look at her stories. They are all inspiring and just a good thing to see on social media, something positive.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
For having that piece of our life and that input into our eye gate of the good things.
Yeah, I try to put good stuff out there, good
content.
Yes, we have a lot of
all
content.
The good things. Absolutely. So. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that my story was a little bit of encouragement to you. And I want to encourage you to continue, as I always say, to be relentless in the pursuit of your health and happiness when it comes to your mental, physical, and emotional sides of life. Thank you so much.
Thank you.